The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome musical guest Phoebe Pinnock from the band Heavenly Axe and the one and only Orionthe. It's a Revelator double feature. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan, and thanks for hanging out with me as always. It's a big time double feature on the show. Orionthe and Heavenly Axe, Phoebe Pinnock from Heavenly Axe. It's been a long time since Phoebe's been on. I tell you what, Phoebe will actually be joining us first, and then Orionthe will be joining us later, hearing cuts from both artists. But let's jump right into it. We got a lot to get to tonight on the show. Let's start off with Heavenly Axe off their first album, Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll, great heavy metal band from Melbourne, Australia. It is Enemy here on Revelator.
Running faster, I know that I ain't a friend of mine.
That is the enemy here on Revelator, Heaven the Axe. You know, it's been over a year since the lovely and very, very talented Phoebe Pinnock, who's joining us right now on the Revelator Show. It's been quite some time. Phoebe, thanks for carving out some time for us.
Thank you so much for inviting me back. It's a pleasure.
We love having you. We think the world of you, and we really dig what you guys are doing, what you're all about. And you've been very, very busy. But first off, I want to wish you a happy belated birthday. I caught you on Twitter. I know you're a very busy woman, but happy belated birthday. And and I know you. We talked a little bit pre-show about your birthday. So why don't you go ahead and share your story with the audience, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, you know, on your birthday, you want to lap up the attention a bit. You know, you want to get all the messages you get on Facebook and Twitter and your friends call. But we were playing at a Hot Rod Festival in Australia. It's the biggest one for cars. It's called Summer Nats, and it's just pure chaos. If you can imagine Armageddon, and that's what it looks like at nighttime. You know, you look out the window and it's just mental. There's 100,000 or more hot rod heads, which are, you can imagine, the crazy people that go to this kind of a festival. And there's all the best cars from around Australia just hooning around on display. And there's a huge burnout competition, and it's massive. And so the air is just thick with rubber smoke. And we had to get there and coordinate four bands that we took to the festival to play with us and go and set up this show all day long. And it was definitely not the kind of birthday that you'd want to have, but it was so much fun, especially when the whole crowd sang me happy birthday on stage at the end of the night. So that kind of made it worthwhile.
Oh, that is very cool. And yeah, it sounds like obviously a pretty interesting video. I know you guys have been struggling with the kind of heat wave there in Australia right now. But I got to ask, do you have any other than this particular birthday, do you remember any birthdays, you know, through your youth or recently where, you know, any weird gifts or anything that you got at all?
That's interesting. Off the top of my head. Probably things that I wouldn't mention to the general public.
All right, fair enough. We'll stop the recording now. We'll have this conversation later.
Birthday after Christmas, you don't often get a present. You know, you don't. Right. No one. You know, you always think, oh, I wonder if I will get a present, but you just don't, you know. But then you buy your friends presents all year, and then after Christmas, nah, you may as well forget it. My friend had a birthday party on the New Year's Eve because his birthday was on New Year's Day, and he'd never had a birthday party in his life. So we celebrated every single birthday party all night. So we played Pass the Parcel for his 6th birthday. We played Spin the Bottle for his 16th. We had Jelly Shots for his 18th. We had Margarita in frozen ice glasses that we smashed on the ground for his 21st. It was the best New Year's Eve celebrating this guy's birthday party. And we had a jumping castle, and all the adults were jumping on the jumping castle. There was no kids on it. It was just the grown-ups. It was so fun.
It sounds like a blast. How far along in the evening did he make it at that rate?
Pardon?
How far along did he make it drinking all those drinks and doing all that? How long did his evening last at that rate?
Well, I think Australian metalheads are quite seasoned drinkers, so there's no stopping. You just keep on going.
Very, very cool.
Especially that party was with our really, really best band buddies, Frankenbach. They're an amazing band. You'll have to get them on the show. They are so good. They're like Australia's Pantera. They're unbelievable. Make sure all your listeners check out Frankenbach. They are such a cool band. So we often party with them, and that was the party that we had with them.
Awesome. Yeah, I know when we talked last night, you had mentioned them, and yeah, we'll have to we'll talk off air at some point, and we'll have to you know, do an introduction if you don't mind, and we'd definitely love to have them on. Now, speaking of cool bands, you're in this band called Heaven the Axe, which is pretty kick-ass, and you guys get some new material. And I know, unfortunately, I think your video shoot today was canceled because of the heat there. But I believe you're recording a video, and also your music's going to be featured in a TV show there as well. Talk to me about the TV show and how that kind of came to be for you guys.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're the first person I'm telling about this, because now all the contracts are signed off, we can actually mention it. So what we've done, it's a bit different. You know, this is a single that we've written, but we just sort of changed it up a bit, like lyrically, to suit this TV show that they've been using a lot of our music in their last TV shows, which are absolute, like, crazy underground cult hit in Australia. It's called Howzos. That's the main show that they've made in the past. Oh, you've got to check it out on YouTube. It's so wrong, it's right, and we love it. Anyway, they're making this brand new series, which is another step up for them. It's called Bogan Hunters, and it's going to be on one of the major network channels in Australia. And it's basically a TV show where they're going on the hunt for Australia's biggest bogan. Do you know what a bogan is?
I cannot say that I'm familiar with that, no.
Well, a bogan is, I guess, an Australian term to reflect somebody who just lives the hardcore Aussie lifestyle, but in a sense, which is kind of considered a bit daggy and, you know, that, but also, you know, that they're into metal or AC/DC or hip-hop or something like that, and they might have a mullet hairdo, and they might have smoked ciggies since they were 6 years old, and they might drive the oldest, raddest bomb of a car, and, you know, talk in such a way, mate, you know what I'm talking about, you know, like it's like the low class of Australia, but it's actually quite cool to be consider yourself a bogan. So most metalheads have bogan pride, that's what they are. So you'll have to keep an eye out for the show to see what it is, but it's true Aussie form in its best hilarious style. But we've written the song, which is going to be the theme song for the show, which is really exciting for us to have our music played on national major commercial TV show and have them use our music so much. So, and we were supposed to make a video clip for the song because the show really wants to push the song, you know, as an anthem for bogans in Australia, which is really exciting. And we'd planned with the show's star and director, his name's Paulie Fennick, to film a clip on Friday, actually, out in the bush somewhere. But it's going to be over 40 degrees Celsius. So what is that in your translation?
That is about 106 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. Hot. And we called it off. I got an email this morning saying, look, let's postpone because it's just going to be terrible. So, yeah, we'll be doing that very soon. But very, it comes out in Australia in April, the TV show.
Wonderful. I'm very happy for you. I know we have talked a little bit about, you know, you guys have been wanting to expand and reach out, and obviously this is going to help you reach a much larger audience in obviously in your region, but also you guys obviously talked about expanding internationally, and you've been playing with a lot of pretty big names as well. Recently, the end of last year, you played a show with Fozzy, which features Chris Jericho, former wrestler. What was it like to play with those guys and kind of mingle with Chris Jericho, a guy who's really been in the entertainment industry for, gosh, better 20 years now?
Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely guy. The band were amazing. I loved Fozzy. I loved how they played and how they performed, and they were just really beautiful people. And it all really came about because, when we released our last single, Good Things Come to Those Who Hate, one of the major radio guys here in Australia, who is a brilliant supporter of ours, he tweeted that song to Steel Panther, and they blew out and became a really genuine fans of Heaven the Axe, and contacted me, and, you know, they invited me to go to their show, which they just played a sold out big Music Bowl show here in Melbourne. And I went along and went backstage and met Chris Jericho, and that's when he asked us to support him. So it all happened just that week. But the show was fantastic. You know, we played to a great room. The crowd loved it. It was such a good vibe. You know, it was a really enjoyable show. So yeah, really happy.
Very cool. Now, I have a quote from Steel Panther about you and the band, and it says, Steel Panther, this chick will make you come and shit your pants at the same time.
That's from Satchel. I met Satchel that day, and then I got in my car to go home, and I checked my Twitter, and that's what it said. He's a sweetheart. They are really lovely, lovely people, and really have a lot of time for them. They're gorgeous and so talented and funny, and their show is amazing.
I saw that quote, and I laughed hysterical. It's probably it's the funniest quote ever. I think I've heard of anyone describe anyone else, but that's awesome. But I wouldn't expect anything less
on our website of them watching our watching our music at the radio station that they were doing an interview at Triple M. The presenter filmed them watching our clip, and it's pretty funny too. You can see it on our website.
Very, very cool. Now, also, you recently are moving, right? You guys are moving house, studio, the whole deal. And I know that you obviously dealing with that this week. And, you know, I, again, appreciate you taking the time out while you're moving. How's the move going? You know, moving is always a real pain anyway. You're boxing everything up and you find all this old stuff, you know, that you forgot about, or like, where the heck did this come from? Can you give me a couple items? You're like, where the hell did I find this thing at?
Well, the place we were living in, we moved from the country, Steve and I, 7 years ago, and I can't believe it's been that long. And we moved down to Melbourne because of our dream, you know, to be in a band and create it. And it took a few years really to find the right musicians and get involved in, I guess, the music industry down here. And that house that we were living in, which we called the Axe Mansion, it was an old house, but it had a really big room that we could rehearse from home in, which was awesome. So we got a lot of work done in that house, but also our band members, two of them moved in, and often, you know, different band members would sleep over. So it was a constant hive of people that were hanging out, sleeping on the lounge, crashing, you know, and being there. And you can imagine that many people coming over and, oh, can we just leave this in your shed, you know? So we have so much of other people's stuff. There's still a piano there that someone's got to come and pick up. But now, oh, it's been amazing. It's such a cleansing, you know, to move out and find – oh, the CDs, you know, that house, you really, it wasn't a listening to music house. It was just a working seriously on music house. Whereas this house that we found, which is like, it's made for us. It's so beautiful. It's in the trees, and it's got this gorgeous area we're going to set up as the band room, and the music is just playing nonstop. And I think the only way you can deal with having to move houses is to drink cider from lunchtime onwards, just to deal with the pain of the heat and having to having to move. But now, yeah, we couldn't be happier. We're in this gorgeous place, and now we're just hoping someone will give us maybe $500,000 so we can buy it, never ever have to leave.
There you go. Right on. Well, I think you guys keep going the way you're going. You might not have to worry about it now. Obviously, the new song, which we're going to hear again tonight, and you guys were also part of our Revelator music show at the end of the year. And again, thank you for loaning that song to us and letting us use that on the show. But you know, we talked about you guys expanding out and kind of going international and doing more touring on a larger scale. Was that kind of your guys' mindset with the new single and then obviously the new material you're working on now to, you know what, this year, 2014 into 2015, we want to get out international and really hit the road hard?
Yeah, that is definitely our focus. I mean, we've driven around and around and around this country so much, and the thought of playing here now, just I don't feel excited about having to play here anymore because we've done it and done it and done it. So what's really important to us and our journey is now making those plans to, you know, see some new frontiers, and those opportunities are coming to us at the moment, and we're in discussion for a few different ideas, which we're really excited about. So fingers crossed that will happen this year. And also now we have this beautiful new space to create in. I think the new music's going to take on a whole new perspective and have that really new energy that we can give to it. Because the house that we're in now is kind of like a holiday house in the woods, you know, where you would want to go and write music and write a record. So I just feel like it's all good for the moment, definitely.
Right on. Now, the new single here, Good Things Come to Those Who Hate. This song, I think, captures the pure essence of hard rock and heavy metal. It's relentless, passionate, unique, headbanging, ass-kicking, mosh-pitting purity. That's the best way I can describe it, you know? And I don't know if I'm going to shit my pants or come first. I don't know which is going to come yet. But I'll tell you, man, in the video, if you don't mind me saying, I've actually sent the video to a bunch of people, and some people were like, man, that chick looks crazy. Then they watch the video again, like, that chick is super hot, and she looks crazy, you know? So... I love you in the video. I think your personality shines through. And me knowing you a little bit and seeing you in the video, I absolutely love it. And the guys in the band are kick-ass in the video as well. How fun was that to record? It looked like you guys had a blast doing it.
Oh, it was great. Like, well, to record the song and to even get to that point vocally for me was a challenge because I'd never sang that kind of style before, but I felt quite peer pressured because the bands that we've been touring with in Australia are quite heavy, you know, so we were the soft end of the stick and I really wanted to ramp it up and show them that, you know, I was capable of the kind of brutal vocals that they were singing, and it really came about. You know, I was able to draw on a lot of emotional energy to really bring that voice into existence, which one day it just did. It just came out of me, so that was really exciting, and the boys were beyond stoked, and it was like a whole new chapter that began. And then we did the video clip. We recorded it first, and I did the recording, all the vocals in one session. So I just got it out there, and I tell you what, singing each line over and over again a few times in one session, I was getting a headache for sure, but I was using these crystals. My producer was just staring at me like, I thought I'd seen it all, but now I've seen, you know, this is something new. But I was taking time out, lie down, put these crystals on my forehead so that I could focus and heal and get back into it. and then we went, that place that we recorded it in was our friend in Frankenbox. That's their rehearsal space. And so we went there and just recorded that film clip in one evening. We wanted it to be really, you know, just true to who we are. We wanted it to just be humble and just reflect the performance and the music rather than have to create a sort of a story or something like that. And I think it really worked for what it is. You know, it's not trying to push any sort of image or anything at anyone. It's just a performance, and that's what you get when you come see us live is pretty much what you see in the video clip.
Very, very cool. Now, man, I the video is great, and I can't say enough about it. I really can't. And I think it's one of the heavier songs you guys have looking at your catalog. Is that kind of the direction you guys are heading? Or are you still going to – obviously, you know, on the Chugs album, really good – I mean, diverse, you know, obviously Unconditional, and, you know, the list goes on there with a lot of those songs, just kind of really a nice up and down flow throughout the album. This time around, are you guys looking to kind of take more of an aggressive musical approach this time around, or –
I think there will be elements of that aggressive musical approach. I think that from what we get feedback on social media is that obviously the metal fans are quite vocal and passionate that's what they want. But the rock side of things is still very much who we are and what our music is about. And we have some great rock songs that we're really looking forward to recording and putting down and have learned and progressed as songwriters from the last record. And there's, you know, things that are in my heart that I really have to get out in the form of a song, you know, because that's what makes me, you know, as an artist want to create through sharing. And there will be elements of a more heavier, aggressive side, but I think there will also be some really great rock songs as well. It just makes the music reach such a broader audience too, and we really want that, and we really love the rock side of things, but it'll always be driven by the fact that there's these brutal metalheads playing whatever song I throw. I could throw them a ballad and it'll come out like the Dillinger Escape Plan, you know, like
right.
It's the only function they have. They can't play soft.
Right, I dig what you guys do, man. Do you guys have any deadline as far as, you know, like an EP or an album coming out? Or are you guys just kind of really taking the organic approach, and when it's done, and there it is?
Well, it's been such relentless hard work for so long. Like I said, we've been living together. We've been going through all sorts of manner of personal situations as well, you know, which life throws at you. So for now, with this move, it's like a really big new start for everyone, because a lot of the whole entire band and everyone's focus was just around that house. So it's quite a big shift for us. But having this new place and having had a little break and also not planning any local shows for a while is going to give us the space to create and then go ahead very strongly once we have a really good defined plan. So there's no deadline. It's really about now sitting down and recreating and rebuilding everything. And we've got lots of songs that, you know, that Steve and I have written together, and now it's about nutting them out and putting them together. But I think what we're planning on doing is doing a cover next and releasing a cover. That's what I think will be our next plan. But our producer in Australia is also very, very busy too, so we have to you know, hold on to our hats and wait for him because he's pure gold. His name's Peter Reggie Bowman, and he's working with some huge international names that all fly to Australia to be with him. And when he's with those people, you can't even get in touch with him. He is very dedicated to his work, and he's super genius. So we love him. He's gold, and we can't wait to get him for a week or two and then see what we come up with.
Wonderful. Well, hey, Phoebe, it's a pleasure. I'll tell you what, next time, let's have it be a year the next time you come on. Let's make it sooner than that. We really appreciate you guys, and you're one of our favorite guests we've had on, and it's been an honor and a pleasure. And better way than good things come to those who hate? And that's why we had you on tonight, because we've been waiting for over a year. So I'm glad to have you on. And we close out with, I'll tell you what, if you're listening right now and you don't have your friggin' speakers jammed to the fucking max right now, you need to do it. This is Heaven the Axe. Good things come to those who hate.
don't give a fuck.
Heaven the X here on Revelator. Good things come to those who hate. Yes. Got it. Freaking love that tune, man. And for more information about Heaven the Axe and what they're going to be up to moving on the future, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Click on Revelator episode number 43. And we move on tonight. Like I said, it is a jam-packed show. Oriente will be joining us in just a moment. But before she joins us, let's take a listen to a track she did with Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. It is Oriente here on Revelator, Sexy Bazaar. That is Oriente here on Revelator with Sexy Bazaar, and I'm joined now by lovely and very, very talented Oriente. Oriente, how the heck you been?
I've been good. Been really busy, super busy. I got back from, I was on tour last year with Alice Cooper, and then we just finished up, then went to Australia, then went to Maui, played New Year's in Maui, came back here, and just been doing various things, songwriting, and just played a charity event the other night. And getting ready to do a bunch more things, going through all these videos right now for Be My Band, which I'm really excited about, which is a really cool concept that Dave Stewart and Talent House have joined up and created, and asked me to be a part of it. And I was like, definitely, it's about inspiring more kids to, want to play music and for them to be flown out here to LA to play a show with me. I'm just watching their videos that they're sending in of their original pieces, and I'm super excited. We're going to play it on the 14th of February, so it's going to be really cool.
That is very cool. It's Valentine's Day night. I imagine you're getting all kinds of submissions from very, very talented musicians from all over the globe. And I believe voting for that will run from the 25th to the 31st. And you'll announce the winners on February 5th, if my information's right. Is there certain things that you're looking for, or certain, you know, style or sound that you're looking for there?
Yeah, I'm looking for the musicians to be super versatile, because I like to play different genres of music, you know, so I kind of like to hear different influences in their style of playing, and just enthusiasm, you know, and that comes across in all the videos that I really like, you know, of the players. I mean, I think that if it just shows that they just really love playing bass or guitar or drums or piano, then, you know, that the energy for me is really important. So if I feel like, yeah, this person's an amazing bass player, but they just don't look quite into it, then, you know, I just feel like you should just have fun. You should enjoy what you do, and with this whole thing and playing a show out here, and I just want to have that great energy around me. And if they all kick butt that night, I'll call them again, because I want them to play another show with me. So it won't just be a once-off if I feel that, you know, it's great energy up on stage and it's a good bunch I picked, so... I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I tell you what, that's going to be a great opportunity for several people, and I think that's really cool that you're doing that. And you're playing, obviously, that Valentine's Day show. I have to ask, what's the best Valentine's Day date or gift you've ever received?
Oh, gosh. Valentine's Day, you know, usually it's just flowers, right?
Right?
that's the usual. Just nice flowers. Chocolate, flowers, usual, and that's what, you know, I like. So,
sorry to put you on the spot there. Now, we just heard the song Sexy Bizarre that recorded with Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. A couple questions, if you don't mind, about that. I mean, what, do you recall your first meeting with him, and can you share that story with us?
First meeting with Steven. We actually met when I did the Dark Shadows premiere, and he got up and sang with Joe Perry. And he's just super cool. I mean, being a fan of Aerosmith, you know, it was really cool to obviously meet him and then get to rock out a few songs with him. And then I saw him again in Maui, because we did New Year's last year, and he got up and sang some songs. We ended up hanging out. I played him some of my demos, and actually Sexy Bizarre was just a rough demo, and I was there with Marty Fredrickson, who I co-wrote it with. And we're at his house. I played it for him. He cranked it up. Like, I really dig this song. And then he started sort of humming along with it. I was like, that'd be really cool if he would, like, sing backups or something on it. And so then, I don't know, we sort of met in L.A. And then he called me up and we just discussed it. And I said, it'd be really cool. And he said, yeah, I'll sing on it. And he called me and he sang on it. And I was just totally blown away that he did that. And he just took it to another level. You know, it's just like rock and roll, just awesome. He just kills it on it. His vocals are so distinctive and amazing, and he's a really cool guy too.
Yeah, I mentioned, I mean, you've had the privilege of really working with a lot of individuals in the music industry. Is there anyone that you've kind of met that's kind of starstruck you a little bit, or, you know, where you're just like, man, this is such a wild ride, I can't believe this is happening?
Yeah, actually, it happened the other day. I played the Kennedy Honors for Santana, and we're at rehearsal, and I was sitting there with Sheila E. and Buddy Guy walks in the room.
Oh, wow, like, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, because I don't usually get fangirl or anything about anybody, really. But he definitely has this presence about him, because I put him on the same, you know, part as Hendrix. You know, they're both, like, huge influences. And he just has so much soul to his playing. You know, his presence, everything, his singing. A lot of respect for him. So when he walked in the door, I was pretty taken back. I was kind of like, oh gosh, I didn't know what to say. And then he started playing. He just came in, his hat, his guitar, amplified, plugged straight in, started singing. And I was just like, wow, like just you or something coming from his amp and just attacks you, you know, his notes, the way he plays. And I got to chat with him afterwards, and really sweet, and definitely was a moment for me. You know, I got a photo with him, so I was very happy, and just getting to play with him. I mean, just buddy guy, like that was super cool.
Right. Man, Buddy Guy, for anyone who's listening, has never seen Buddy Guy live. I don't think he does quite aggressive live shows maybe anymore, but man, that is a show that you see Buddy Guy live and you know that you saw just, you know, you saw something special when you see Buddy Guy live. I've had the privilege of seeing him three different times, and that guy can play like no other. I mean, there's just unbelievable energy coming from him on stage. And I can imagine talking with him and interacting with him was definitely a pleasure, especially as a guitarist, too.
Yeah, definitely. And when he performs, he has so much personality off the stage. You know, I love it. He's a real showman, too. So, really cool moment for me.
Very, very cool. Now, you mentioned the Carlos Santana, playing obviously at the Kennedy Center to honor him last month. That also, another great guitarist, I think, is kind of right up there in the, you know, if you're looking at top five, top 10 all time, I think he's definitely in that category, at least in the conversation. What was it like to, you know, obviously meeting Buddy Guy there, but also playing to honor Carlos Santana as well? That had to be a nice honor for you as well.
Yeah, I've known Carlos since I was 18, and he's actually the reason why I play guitar, electric guitar. So picked up my electric after watching him play Europa. I was at a concert with my dad, and I was studying classical and was sort of strumming the electric, but not really taking to it as much. You know, I was into it, but not, like, you know, hugely. But he changed my mind about that, like just playing that melody and just putting so much heart into every note, and then getting to meet him and him becoming a friend, and then honoring him, being asked, you know, to play, you know, for him and Obama and everybody. It was just like one of those moments. It's like, is this real life? I was like looking around, going, I don't know if this is like real life. And he's like Taylor and Steve Winwood and Mike Bearden. He was on keys. You know, I worked with him for Michael Jackson. He's in the band for the Kennedy Center Honors, and it's just a great night. The energy of everyone in the room and just, I mean, the music, everyone wanted to dance, and Carlos was like super happy, he was beaming, and just I had a blast. It was incredible.
Awesome. Obviously in your element, and obviously, you know, we kind of talked about last time about you heading on tour with Alice Cooper and Manson, obviously wrapping that up. I believe you're going to head back out with Alice Cooper again very shortly, but what was it like being on tour with Manson and interacting with him and the guys on tour, being, you know, a female on tour, what are some of the ups and downs there for you?
Oh, I love Manson. He's awesome. He's a good friend. We became friends over the tour, and, you know, because at first, I mean, I was into his music. I thought he was great. At first, we didn't talk to each other at all because he didn't know how to pronounce my name, so he didn't say anything. And so I was a little bit scared, because he would just come in and say random stuff, and he was just playing. He's funny. But, you know, I just thought it was a good mix, Alice and Manson together. But the audiences are really cool. And, you know, we just had a really good time. And at the last show, I got up and played Four Rusted Horses with Manson and the band. And that's one of my favorite tracks, because he was playing it backstage. I'm like, I love that track. It's awesome. And he's like, we've got to play it. You're going to get up and jam with us on it. And I'm like, okay, hell yeah, I'm down. So we did that. And that was so much fun. We hang out. He's great. And it was just a really cool mix, I thought.
Yeah, I think him and Alice, get compared a lot for the stage antics and stuff like that. But again, two individuals that you look at their music catalog, and especially Manson. I've been a fan of Manson for a long time, and just his songwriting has evolved and changed so much in a good way, really. From Portrait of American Family early on to where he is now, the album he just released. So such a very intelligent, well-spoken individual in interviews and also in his lyrics, too. So I imagine he was definitely a pleasure. And he has kind of a quirky sense of humor, at least in the interviews I've heard from. So he seems like he kind of has a really nice humor about him.
He's super funny. He's probably one of the funniest people I know. And a lot of people don't know that, because they think, oh, he's just, you know, kind of scary. The image that he projects out there. But working with him, you know, because we worked with some stuff, and he's an incredible songwriter and just amazing musician, artist, all around person. I mean, you meet those people now and then, you know, you just think like, but not, I mean, he's like Alice Cooper, he's genius, he's awesome, incredible entertainer, everything, and Manson is too, but in a different way. But and I can see how they get compared, of course, because of the dark, they draw from sort of that dark place, but they're very different, but complement each other, I think. And that's what I think really worked on the tour. The contrast.
Very cool.
Where Manson became, and then, you know, with Alice, It's more like old school sort of rock with Alice, and then Manson's more into that, the new age. You've got some beats going on, but it's still drawing from that darkness, and it was just a really, yeah, as I said, a great mix.
Yeah, obviously, when I saw the tour announced, we talked about it last time, that it was just really kind of a perfect fit there, kind of like peanut butter and fudge almost, with those two being on tour. Now, kind of switching up on you, have a bunch of things coming up in the new year. Obviously, you played New Year's Eve in Hawaii, which I'm sure was awesome. But also, yeah, you're doing the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in Vegas in the middle of, somewhere in February, I believe, right? You're playing with Joe Perry and Stevie Vai and Eric Johnson. There's a bunch of other people there, too. How did you get involved with the Fantasy Rock and Roll Camp?
I just got a call from one of the people that works there, and they asked if I'd be a part of it, and I was like, hell yeah. I've known Steve Vai since I was 14 as my first support, and so it'd be great to see him again. And Joe Perry, I've known for a few years, like when we played at the Dark Shadows, and then recently saw him, and he's just, great guitar player. I mean, Eric Johnson too, amazing. Cliffs of Dover, my favorite songs, instrumentals. It's gonna be a really cool day right there.
Yeah, we've had the privilege. We spoke with Phil Soussan, who played with Ozzy Osbourne and stuff, and he was also on the Fantasy Rock and Roll Camp too. And it's just like anytime that comes around this time of year, right before the Grammys and stuff in Vegas, and it's just like a who's who of rock artists and stuff. So I imagine that's got to be a great time to kind of mingle and hang out with your peers, and also just to be invited, I would imagine, is also a nice honor to be recognized and to have guys like Joe Perry and Stevie Vai have you at that event.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great, definitely. I can't wait.
Very cool. Now, I know last time we were on here, we talked about your love and joy of cooking. I was wondering if you can share with me the first meal you cooked yourself when you got back on tour.
When I got back from tour? It's kind of weird, though. I like to eat burnt chicken. A lot of people that know me know that. I like to overcook my chicken, and just so it's almost like jerky. And it's actually really awful. But I like that with ketchup. I don't know why. I just like burnt chicken and ketchup. It makes me happy.
All right. That is definitely an interesting mix there. Now, I know last time we also talked, you were moving and stuff. You got a chance to meet your new neighbors at all?
Yeah, they hate me. Yeah.
How could they possibly hate you? Are they crazy?
I know they hate me because I'm so loud. Between my guitar, my amp, and my Pomeranian, it's a combination. And there's serious hate there.
And the house across the street from me here in Nashville is available. So if you want to move in here in Nashville next door to me, I'll listen to you play all day. So
I get so many complaints. Last night I had a session with a really great Japanese artist came in, and he plays like this guitar which is plugged into a bass amp and a guitar amp at the same time. So he was standing in the middle of my living room and playing, and I have a whole, like, when you walk into my place, it's like a recording studio. You come in, it's like a cave, so it's completely, like, covered in party lights, and it's dark, and it's vibey. So we just crank up the music, and we finish, like, 11 or 12, but security guy at the door. It's a constant thing. I know what time they're going to come by, about, like, 10. I try to keep it down, but just having fun, vibing out, they're just, jamming, and they hate it. It's like, whatever. I actually thought my neighbors were dead at one point. I thought there was no complaints. So loud. Because I knew it was loud. But now I just kind of curse that, I think. Because they're there all the time. And pretty got all the next door neighbors knocking at my door. But what can you do?
Right. I mean, I would imagine, I don't know. I guess I find it hard to believe that, if you had someone, of your talent moving next door and playing all the time, I think that'd be pretty awesome. That's just me as a huge music fan. But well, that stinks that your neighbors hate you. I can't imagine that. You're such a cool person. But
I should maybe bake them some cookies or something.
There you go. Yeah, you don't invite them over for the burnt chicken. That they may not enjoy that too much. But
yeah, no, that wouldn't. And plus, I don't want to share that, so I'll make them some. I'll make them some baked goods. I'll be happy.
You can mix some laxatives in it or something and give it to them. Be like, here you go. You don't know.
Yeah, or some like Tylenol PM or something.
Right. Yeah.
Crush it in there.
Yeah, put some Soma in there. You guys will rest well. Like, man, these cookies just really put me out.
You know, just like, they're really great. Really great.
Are you a 2% milk drinker? Here's some 2% milk, too. Wash them down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Hilarious. One more question for you, and then, you know, obviously we want to talk about the last song we'll play onto the show tonight, but is there any item that you take with you on tour to kind of remind you of home?
Items? Not really. I mean, I just have, you know, honestly, on tour, I just have my computer and the usual things that I sort of need, but there's nothing really, apart from when I go, I mean, sometimes my mom will give me some things from Australia. I don't know, but just like, I don't know, what really I take that's kind of a, I'm sorry, I don't really have an interesting answer for that, because I don't know. Everything's kind of different. It depends on sort of where I'm at, you know, because sometimes we start the tour, and I'll be in Australia, and then I'll just go straight from there. And but yeah, actually, okay, so I take these tikis with me from Hawaii that are good luck, and that's where I am crystals. I bought some crystals in Adelaide that are good luck, and I take them with me everywhere. But that's kind of, it not really remind me of home, it just, I'm pretty superstitious, so I like to have, like, things like that with me.
Awesome, well, cool. Well, Orianthi, it's been a pleasure speaking with you again, and, you know, you're always welcome back anytime, and best of luck to you on the road and everything. If people were interested in finding more about you, and also, you know, obviously voting for the Be My Band thing that you have coming up here at the end of January, how can they do so?
We'll go on to my Facebook page, which is just Orianthi Band Facebook page, and also Twitter, and then go on to talenthouse.com, davestewart.com, that has a lot of information on there. My website is unfortunately hacked. We're in the midst of trying to figure that out right now. So any of my like outlets like Twitter or Facebook, I'm always on there, and there's information on those pages. Orianthimusic.com, I think, is up and has some stuff on there, some content. But I think the best bet is to go to talenthouse.com and check it out there. Submit your videos, and although, you know, it's going to be over by that time, but it's going to be a blast doing the show.
Very cool. Well, Orianthi, best of luck to you, you know, in your travels here in the new year. And we close out tonight with a song that I really dig, and I think it's kind of fitting that we talked about the Carlos Santana tribute at the Kennedy Center, and I think this song kind of has that kind of feel to it a little bit, at least in my eyes it does. And that's the song How Do You Sleep. Is there anything you would like to share with us about that song? Or
Well, I'm happy you like that song. That's one of my first songs I wrote for that last record, and I wrote that song on piano, and it was really fast the way I wrote it. I needed to get that sort of emotion out about the situation, and that's probably one of those like intense tracks on the record. It's one of my favorites for sure.
Awesome, cool. Well, yeah, I really dig it too, and I think that anyone that's ever gone through something difficult in their life, I think could definitely relate to this track too. Hey, Orianthi, it's been a pleasure, and best of luck to you, and hopefully we'll talk again down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for your time.
To make a mess of me, tear me down and make me believe. Thank God I didn't fall too deep. Why'd you try to make a mess of me? There was something about the things you said, just to try to get into my head. Go lie in that empty bed. Oh, you know now just what you did. So tell me why you tried so hard. Well, just to break my heart. Kept on pulling me in, thought I would give in. So tell me before I leave, how do you see? Wish I could erase you from my mind. Take away the pain I feel inside. Like a fool, you didn't bring a lies. Boy, you know I saw right through your lies. I'm gonna throw all those things away you gave to me to make me wanna stay. I heard you never, never cared anyway. Don't think that I'll be coming back someday.
Orianta here on Revelator. How do you sleep? And she mentioned in the interview how much she really likes this song, and really a deep, passionate song. And I think a lot of people can relate to it. And you hear the words to it, and you hear the the fire in it, you know. And really a great song, and a song that I'm sure she really enjoyed playing for Carlos Santana as well. And for more information again on Orianta and what she's going to be up to, a very busy lady, head on over again to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/omnes.tv. And also find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's double feature as much as I did. We'll be back next week with Redline Chemistry and a host of other guests coming up in the future. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 43, Orianta and Phoebe, How Heavy the Axe. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.